We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle.
President Trump put a tweet out there that kind of summed it up pretty quickly for everybody. Mike Pompeo met with Kim Jong-un in North Korea last week. Of course, everybody is aghast with that. The meeting went very smoothly and a good relationship was formed. Details of the summit are being worked out now. The denuclearization will be a great thing for the world and also for North Korea. So, Jim, Ava, that was the tweet. And of course, you've heard over the last 24 hours when it became known that he had met with him. Again, I've been talking about on this show that basically we don't have formal ties. So you've got to kind of do things like this. So I wasn't really surprised by Pompeo being out there. I thought it was a good thing. What did you think, Jim?
Well, I think it's a terrific thing. You have to set up these meetings before. I mean, when you go back to the Korean history, it took them like 6 months to decide what shape the table would be when they were meeting on trying to work things out between for the Korean War. And actually, you know, the Korean War is still actually going on. All it is a ceasefire right now. There's never been an armistice ending it. So I think taking these measures, going ahead, setting it up, very professional, very presidential, as you'd want everybody to see. And yet, the left's attacking Trump.
Well, they seem to have a problem with that, Ava, that the fact that they weren't told in advance. So basically, this is, I mean, you know, again, the press, they think that everything starts and stops with them on any given day, clearly, you know. I mean, come on.
Well, Trump has broken the model, okay? See, this is one of the things the press is complaining about. Usually, this is done usually through lower level people. And Trump is doing it from the top. And they're just so upset that he's breaking the model.
And he's communicating with the public, Ava, on top of that, you see?
And he's transparent. Yeah, he's truly transparent.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
All the things the media hates.
I know, Jim. Right. It's hysterical, really. You can see why they're having tumble salts. They're flipping out, guys. They are totally flipping out, man, you know? I mean, they just don't know what to do with this guy. The fact that he's being transparent, Ava, and the fact that he's, you know, as forthcoming as the information, which I guess was pretty smart when he started using Twitter. You remember everybody said after the campaign, is he going to still use Twitter as the president? He won't be able to do that. They'll have to take his phone from him. Boy, he proved that.
Hey, they didn't want Ronald Reagan to go on TV either, okay?
Right.
Remember.
Yeah, and Reagan was a great TV president, by the way. He came across really well in those addresses.
His ability to speak off the cuff was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it was a gem, just a gem. That's the kind of leadership that this country is in such need of. So, well, listen, another story up front here I want to talk to you guys about is the this one was interesting to me. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, good old Mitch. So he kind of, well, but you guys might like him today. You might like what he did here because
I do. Right,
you know where I'm going with this story then, don't you? Yeah, did he retire? There you go, Jim. I don't know about that. Yeah, I didn't say you're going to be happy as a pig and you know what. But he, you know where I was going, Ava, with this story then. So he stopped this, this quasi-bipartisan effort, which bipartisan, I mean, whatever you want to call that. Lindsey Graham is not really a conservative. Well, he's not a conservative. So I don't know what you want to call him. But again, bipartisan effort to they were trying to get a measure in place to protect the special counsel Mueller, which, of course, would have set Trump off to no end. This would have been World War III right here in the States here. And they tried to get something out on the floor there and they want to get new legislation on this, and then they want to get it over to the Senate. McConnell says that the bill is unnecessary, because Donald Trump will not fire Mueller. He says, and I quote, "We'll not be having this on the floor of the Senate." So, Ava, it looks like our boy Mitch does have a set of balls after all.
Well, I've been tweeting an awful lot to Leader McConnell. He has a Twitter feed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they even read that stuff, but you know what? I figured, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I tweet to him constantly, and I tell him that we need a simple majority for Trump's legislation. We have 300 bills sitting on his desk that need to be legislated and done. You know, it's a constant harangue on this man.
Well, the Senate
and
The Senate is a graveyard. They're a graveyard.
It is, but you know what? He's the guy. He's the leader. Okay. Mm-hmm. We need a leader that has some BALLS.
Well, that's what I said. The balls, right? I mean, that's as plain talk as we can make it. Jim, you
brass. What? Brass ones.
Brass ones. Well, I mean, first of all, Jim, did this surprise you that Mitch came out and nixed this? Because, you know, Jim, before you answer that, he could have easily had went along with these cats. You know that.
Yeah, he could have, but I don't think it's a bold move or anything. It just it protects. Who does it really protect by?
It's hate speech. That's what it is. It's friggin' hate speech.
It's a waste of everybody's time. I mean, this Congress does more things that waste time and get nothing done and no legislation of any meaning than any group, you know, of cackling women sitting around at a kitchen table drinking coffee. I mean, these people do nothing. What have they passed other than the tax cut?
Nothing.
Zero.
Well, then, Jim, why is the Senate, why is it the graveyard that it is? Why?
Well, everybody, especially the establishment, the people that have been in there for 15, 20 years, they want the status quo. They don't want any change. They want to be able to go back to their people and their constituents and say, look, I'm doing a great job. Everything's going along fine. Mm-hmm. Don't rock the boat.
It's
just that simple. They don't want to be stick their neck out for anything in any way, because the first thing, if they start going after entitlements, mm-hmm. they're going to be racist. They're going to be this homophobic. You name it, one thing or the other, they're going to be branded with.
Why we're on this topic, Jim, you put a tweet out there that I actually liked earlier today here. And you say here, we need term limits. You said here you want to change the you want, I think it's the House you're saying, right? You're changed to a single 4-year term. Is that that's what you're saying? Yeah.
Yes.
Senate a 6-year term, right? And cannot run for other House after serving. Also, cut the size of government agencies. 10th Amendment rules, and of course, the 10th Amendment is all about giving the power back to the states versus the feds. So talk about that a moment. Why that tweet? I mean, you feel pretty passionate. I mean, you brought that up before about term limits, huh?
Yeah, very strongly on it. The government should be a government of the people, not professional politicians, is my belief. You should be able to take a hiatus from your business if you're an executive and say, I'm going to go serve 4 years in the House representing the country and representing the people. Mm-hmm. Do that and get out and go back to your normal life. That's the way it was envisioned by the framers.
Exactly.
That's the way it worked for 100 years. It worked that way. Yeah. We did not have people that were the professional law school, Harvard Law School, professional politicians running a country mm-hmm. in this adversarial environment that they're trained to operate in. These people are just... they're bots. That's the best
they're bots,
way.
Yeah. Well, they are. Ava, talk to me a moment on this tweet that Jim puts out about term limits. You're in favor of term limits, right?
I am to a degree. We actually have term limits. It's called a ballot. So we actually do have term limits. You have to understand that. We do have that power.
Yeah, and, not really. I hear you, but not really, because you've got a lot of people that don't have the smarts to figure out what they're doing. They don't vote because they don't understand the issues. They vote because they know somebody. See, they're voting on popularity. They're voting on, I know the name of this person. See, the problem when you go into the voter booth for a lot of these people that don't follow the stuff like religion, like you all do, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Is that they go in and think about this, guys. When you talk about this, Jim, tell me I'm wrong here, Ava. When you're going to, you see a ballot thing, most of these people, they just go, if you've got 3-4 names there and you recognize one or two of those names that are popular to you, well, that's who you're comfortable with, Ava. You're going to vote on that. You're not going to vote for the unknown because, and who the hell's got time to study this stuff? Nobody's studying this. Only us crazy people, you know, you, I, and Jim, and many others like us that study this stuff like religion. But the average American, they don't have time for this nonsense, right?
Well, years ago, we had, what was it, the 17th Amendment was what gave the power to vote for senators and, mm-hmm. and representatives. Mm-hmm. But years ago, it wasn't that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm with Jim on, I really believe term limits are so important right now because I don't think that people can help themselves. And again, and no disrespect to people out, to Americans out there. I just think that people have a life to live. And I think they can't study this on a day by day basis like we all do because we're in the business and we talk about it because I'm a journalist. It's what I do. I'm a host. This is what I talk about is current events, things that are going on. So I have to know. But the average American, they don't have time for this. They have a life to live. They're people, they're construction workers, they're auto dealers, they're housewives, they're executives at companies. They're all kinds of people out there and they have a life to live. So therefore, when they go into the ballot, they see names and they see one they like, they pull the lever on that person. That's where they poke the hole through and say, okay, this is the cat I know. And the problem is then, as I always say, they end up there in a wheelchair in an oxygen tank until they're croaking. And then we roll their asses out onto the sidewalk because they're dead, basically.
Yeah.
They can't breathe anymore.
I'll say this much, Malcolm. Anything that brings us closer to what the founders originally wanted.
There you go. There you go, sister.
I'm all for that.
Well, okay, there's back to Jim's point. Jim just told you. The frame, and Jim is 100% right on this point. The framers made it this way. And when you look back at Jim, you're 100% right. The first 100 or so years of this nation, people got into office, they got out of office. They served for the purpose of serving, just like you would do, Ava, just like you would do, Jim, because you cats are patriots, because you would do exactly that. And you would get in and then you would get out. And this is what a lot of people did. But today, that's not the case. Now we're kind of seeing that happen a little bit with Trump in the air because they're running like cockroaches. So you're getting Repubs and Democrats running like hell, which I think is hysterical. And you're getting all kinds of sized cockroaches running fast, which I think is funny. I hope they trip each other off the rail.
There's another reason they're running.
Yeah.
You do know that they decided to make sexual harassment claims.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. Hold on. Yeah. That's a I got that right down here, young lady. I haven't missed that one. That's called called Ava's Hush Fund. She wants to talk about that. She's all over that bad boy. Oh, I've got, like I said, I had Jim's tweet and I got your Hush Fund. I'm all on it, kids. And we're going to talk about that today as well. There's a lot of news, obviously, but I like the fact we're talking about these term limits and all that. And just last word on that. Basically, is that, you know, I don't think we can leave it to chance anymore. And I think it is, I know there are a lot of politicians and pundits, actually, who believe that, again, people can vote them out, that the Americans should have the last word and vote people in out of office. And I get that. But again, without some restraints on the system, as Jim is saying, I think that you've got a runaway system again, and you've got people that are just going to sit there forever. And again, I don't think it's ever going to change if we don't change it. And the framers did not envision that people were going to sit there for 50 years and have to leave with an oxygen tank. That was not part of the program. I'm telling you now.
Right.
So anyways.
Right.
All right. Lot more news today to talk about that. I want to. This we got so much to get to here that there really is. I mean, we'll talk in a moment about Syria. They're not letting the inspectors in there. We talked about this on the show yesterday. IQ said he thought it was the white helmets. I called him bluff on it. He says it's not Russia. Well, Russia's not letting them in still. I still have problems. Syria is a big problem again with what's going on there. Also, interesting hero with this Tammy Jo Schultz. She's been trending all day. This pilot they're comparing to Sully with the Southwest. Very interesting lady and what she did there. I just want to touch on that and give some kudos. Cuba is turning their power over. We'll touch on that as well. A couple more Trump tweets, very interesting. And of course, First Lady Barbara Bush. I just want to take just a moment right now before we do introductions and mention that, you know, your heart has to go out to, first of all, this amazing life that she led and this family. This has nothing to do with politics. This has everything to do with really a terrific, terrific woman. This was obviously the wife of a president and the mother of a president, 92 years old. She died as a classy lady as she lived. And of course, her husband, George, our president, George H.W. Bush, was holding her hand. Her family was all around her. And she died of COPD, pulmonary disease as well, and congestive heart disease. And they did not want to live. And they're just comfort care. They wanted to, you know, let her have the dignity. Obviously, former President George H.W. Bush, he's brokenhearted, is the official statement from the family. Clearly, 73 years, Ava, Jim. Can you believe that? 73 years marriage.
It's a beautiful, beautiful love story.
It's an amazing love story. You know, there's such a sadness that comes over me, Jim, Ava. I think of Barbara Bush. I think of this. This is it, where my mind goes as a patriot. I think of the Reagan era. I see a lot of the pictures with Ronald and Nancy and Barbara and George. And it brings back such pride as an American, as a patriot. And so there's a bit of sadness with all this. And your heart goes out to them. And I definitely was a bit sad over this year. She was a terrific first lady, as many of these first ladies are. They're just gracious, phenomenal people. Anyways, I just want to say, truly, truly a gift, guys. And I'm sure you both agree with that, yes?
Oh, yes. A life well lived.
A beautiful woman, a very natural woman, and smart. Very smart.
Smart. Well, talking about smart, let's do formal introductions here. Jim, now nobody really knows your background. You're an amazing guy who we always say you're a smart shit. And of course, a few other names off mic. but take a minute and tell people you have a good background. Tell us what that background is, will you please? Not the dirty stuff, the clean stuff, no.
Well, I have a background in electrical engineering, working in telecommunications, everything from telephone systems to satellite communications, and then moved over into the field of computers. Spent a number of years with that little company in Cupertino, California, that grew up making, they named their computers for a fruit. Yeah. And
how long were you there? How long was you there with Apple, by the way?
I was 12 years.
Wow.
So I know both of the Steves that were there in that era.
You did. So you met Steve Jobs?
Oh, yes. Wow. We used to bump into each other daily and sometimes literally bump into each other.
I'd ask if you can get me an interview, but I don't think you have those kind of powers today. Not yet.
And the fellow they always forget about, Steve Wozniak was a technical guy,
yeah,
and designed the Apple computer. And Steve Jobs was the marketing guy who knew exactly what to do with the stuff.
Well, Wozniak didn't have the class and the skills. He kind of looked like a slob a little bit, you know. They had to keep him in the back room. No, I think so, you know.
He was a consummate nerd.
Nerd. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I work with a lot of those tech people. I mean, they're interesting people. Strange group, actually. You don't want to piss them off. I'll tell you that much. You know that.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Ava, he's taking well over 15 seconds. He's taking 15 minutes. My God, told him to take a couple of seconds, and he went on and on and on. Ava, you take a few moments and tell folks about yourself.
I'm a Russian bot on Twitter. No, cool. I'm just kidding. I'm an author on Amazon, and I have 15 books published right now, working on 3 more. And I also produce Viewpoint this Sunday with James McKay for Malcolm.
Yeah, absolutely. More Nozzle in just a moment, friends.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Back with a good news story, and I want to talk just a moment with you guys about Tammy Jo Schultz. She's being called a hero today. She landed the Southwest Air Flight 1380 after it lost an engine, and she's a Navy veteran. She's being compared to Sully Sullenberger. She looks like quite a gal there. In looking at her background and
younger, both her current and younger pictures. She's a beautiful woman.
Beautiful woman. I mean, and highly intelligent, obviously. So, this accident sadly ended up taking one life, and I guess the pierced the window, which is highly, highly unusual from that engine, and it kind of was sucking that passenger out of the window. I guess the injuries were so bad. I mean, she didn't go out the window. They saved her by pulling her in, but it was severe enough that she lost her life.
Losing the engine's one thing, and because you can fly that plane as they did on one engine, it's capable. But depressurization,
that's a problem.
With the window blowing out,
and
is the biggest problem, because rapid depressurization on a larger scale can tear the airplane apart.
That's it. That's what did it, Jim.
And my wife is an ex-commercial pilot, and she flew for Delta for a number of years.
So your wife is now is she's an ex-commercial pilot. Wow. Yeah. You guys are shabby.
She learned to fly at 15. Her uncle was a U.S. Air Force flight instructor.
Did you meet her on the airline, by the way?
No. She was in Hawaii when she was still working for Delta when I met her.
She was. And I figured you were trying to seduce an attractive lady that was in the airline. That does not surprise me at all, Ava. How about you? Not for a minute. You know,
no.
Ava knows the whole story.
I bet. Well, that's got to be a future book or something, Jim. Maybe, you know, who knows?
It's a great love story. It really is. Yeah.
Wow. He was a flight attendant for Delta for a number of years.
Yeah.
And then they had one of these diversity things where they had very few women in aviation in the pilot seats and all. And they started looking around and they started opening up and recruiting. And here she was. She had probably 1,000 hours of flight time and everything. Mm-hmm. And they just took her in, put her through their training programs, and put her on the commuter jets to start off.
Mm-hmm.
So she was flying the short run stuff. Wow. And she says she loved that because she says the difference between flying even a 737 in one of the smaller jets mm-hmm. is like a sports car versus an SUV.
Something about me you guys don't know about airlines. Do you know I was a pilot?
No.
Really? No.
Yeah.
I was flying Cessnas. You know the little Cessnas?
Yeah, the 170 series.
As a young man, I was flying the Cessna as a young man when I was in the Naval Cadets in the 15, 16, 17 age bracket. And I should have pursued it further and I should have stayed with it. But this is a lesson for all young men, is to keep your pants zippered and stay away from the women if you're serious about whatever it is you're going to do. That's my message to all the young men out there, by the way. And, you know, because really, beyond the pilot thing, I also wanted to be a professional ball player. And I loved baseball. I so wanted to be a pro ball player.
Oh.
That was my gift. If I could have been that would have been anything. I don't know how we get on this topic, but we better get off of all of it, kids. We're talking about airlines and baseball. That'd be a good show, actually, talking about those. But Ava, when we were on yesterday with IQ Al Rizzulli, he was saying he blew me away with the fact he thought it was the white helmets. I was stunned, as you could tell by my response to that. And he mm-hmm. says, well, it's not Russia, and so on and so forth. And I understand. Listen, I'm with him in the support of trying to get Russia to the table. You both know my feelings on Russia. I'm not an anti-Russian. I'm not one of these cats or anything else. But, you know, at the same time now, the inspectors are trying to get in there today. They were promised. And all of a sudden, they're not getting in there. They're being gunfire somewhat is in the area with this supposed gunfire. And the gunfire is, so they had to move away, the inspectors and stuff. So they still were not able to get in there to investigate it. In the meantime, there's a lot of conversation that they're trying to clean that site up, that Russia and Syria is trying to clean it up for what's happening. Now, let me ask you, Jim, because I haven't talked to you about this. What do you think about Syria mm-hmm. and what we're talking about? What's your cliff notes on this?
Well, this conflict in Syria, which is, I consider, a civil war because it's mainly Syrians against Syrians, it's going on for 7-8 years. What business do we have in the middle of it? We say it's ISIS, that we're there to ferret out the ISIS gang. And we haven't come out and given, you know, heavy arms or anything like that to the Syrian rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we should. If Assad he's a son of a bitch, and he's killing his own people and everything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
If the rest of the world doesn't want to deal with it, why should we? It's mm-hmm. We're not the policemen of the world. We don't have to be the policemen of the world. And I don't think we should be the policemen of the world.
Well, that's a very libertarian view you have there, but I didn't expect you to have that view regarding Syria. Interesting.
If there was a clear and present danger to the United States between the Syrian rebels and the Assad regime mm-hmm. fighting that presented a danger to the United States, we should take action.
Well, there is a clear and present danger if they progress with chemical weapons, and if they're using those all over the place as well as getting to us here, there's definitely a danger with cats. And that's, again, that's something that the world, you know, people believe the world should. And, you know, Eva, I'm going to go out on a limb and say something that, you know, I know we have people that are at odds on this conversation. There are those on our platform who believe that we should go after this, those who believe we shouldn't. But I think when it comes to chemical weapons, I think there's a line that's being crossed. And I think the world audience, the world has to step up, which are all these countries, which is what's happened here. So I don't think we can turn the other cheek in this case.
Well, right from the get-go, from the very, very beginning of this whole thing, mm-hmm. I did not want Trump to act.
I know.
I wanted to wait and see what really happened mm-hmm. before we did any kind of strike. Apparently, there was enough agreement among the generals and exactly. the military intelligence to go ahead and
that three countries got involved and went to war on
right.
this thing. Yeah, absolutely.
And our allies joined mm-hmm. us, and we did a very
absolutely.
surgical mm-hmm. strike.
Right.
However, mm-hmm. as time goes on, there's something about this that really smells to me.
Well, it's always smelled. It's always mm-hmm. smelled. I mean, as we mm-hmm. said, you know, I want to tell you both something else about Syria, and I want our listeners to know about this as well, because this really ticks me off again. This is the problem with your media people out there. Those of you who are still relying on television and these phony balonies to tell you what's going on. You know, you remember the story in the last few days. There was this big story about the president was going to pull out of Syria. Do you remember last week, guys? That was the God, how is he doing that? That guy can't pull out. That's going to create a vacuum. Everybody was going off the deep end. And I want to share with you that as I looked more into this story now, this was totally a bunch of rubbish. Because what he was trying to do, see, this is where I want everybody to understand where President Trump was really strategizing on the bigger problem, which is what you were kind of sort of talking about a moment ago, Jim, which I totally understand. But let me tell you this. The administration has been trying to assemble an Arab force to replace our military, and because he realizes we're not in the nation-building business, thank God.
Exactly.
And we should never be in the nation-building business. This country's made plenty of mistakes with that nation-building stuff that Democrats and Republicans both have done. They're both guilty as charged, guys, both.
Yes.
And they've both done this. And it's wrong. It's totally, totally wrong. And Trump has got the right idea of bringing in a coalition, doing this and that. And so what he's trying to do is he's going to the Arab countries now. In fact, John Bolton, the new national security advisor, went to Europe's acting intelligence chief in Cairo and said, hey, we need you to be involved in this. And we need Qatar. We need United Arab Emirates. We need, you know, we need you guys to contribute not only billions of dollars, but we need you to send your troops. Because we're not we're not staying here. Now, nobody reported on that story. All they said is the president was a fool that he was going to pull out of Syria. You never heard the other part of this story, guys.
Right.
That's exactly what the media does. They take the part they want, then twist it in their direction.
But it has to fit their narrative. It has to fit their negative narrative about
That Trump is a blowhard.
Right. That's the only narrative they have.
That's it.
That's all they have.
I mean, it's rubbish. Go ahead, Jim. Finish that thought.
Yeah. You'll hear the out loud truth here, you know?
That's it.
They cut off the entire story is what they did. They just took the front part of it and saying he wants to bring our boys home. But like, as you just said, but he said, and replace them with a local.
Exactly. They never said that. They never said that.
They never said it.
And I was surprised when I first heard the rumblings of this story. And I just want to make sure we touch on that today, guys, because I give the president full credit when the president is deserving of the credit. And he absolutely is. The one thing I like about this president is he puts America first. He puts our troops first. And I really dig that about this administration, and all full disclosure to you people. And, you know, there are things I don't like, and I'm happy to tell you what those are. But I also got to tell you the things I like about it. And that's, I'm a straight shooter here. And I like the way he's handled that. And I think these, we've been talking for years about getting coalitions and getting the Arab community involved in these conversations out there and have them be responsible. Because if they don't step up to the table, if they don't become responsible, if they don't start doing the things that they need to do, the Middle East is not, we can't be the punching bag here for the Middle East. They need to grow a life and they need to get with it here. That's all I'm saying. So I give the president full credit to be able to put a coalition together and say, you know what? Because Syria is a mess. It's a disaster. As you said a moment ago, Ava, yeah, something smells here. Syria has always smelled. You got too many components there. You got all these groups of rebels. You got the ISIS folks. You got Bashar al-Assad. You got Russia. You got Iran. You got all the, and you got us. And we don't even, at half of the time, you don't know what you're shooting at. I mean, it's a mess there, you know? It's definitely like,
if you take the Middle East and play it out to its logical conclusion,
oh boy,
10, 15 years from now,
right?
We're no longer beholden or dependent on them for oil.
Amen.
For years,
there
we
it
had
is.
To maintain a presence, and oil from the Middle East was in our national.
There interest. It is.
But that is no longer the situation. And you say, what is the effect of if Iran became the Persian Empire again by taking over the territory that is now held by Iraq, the territory.
Well, they want it. They want to.
Held by Syria. That's their.
They're trying to do that. The caliph, they want it to be theirs. They want all that to be theirs. That's Iran's goal. Yeah.
So if they have those, then you have the Persians versus the Arabs again.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're setting up a conflict. I mean, Saudi
Arabia.
Right
back to the beginning.
Isn't that crazy?
And then you have the little state of Israel sitting over here that can kick both of their asses because they have, you know, one hell of a good army and air force.
You know, God was very strategic when he took God's people again and put them right in the middle. That's all I can say, okay? All right? Very strategic, which is why we love Israel for a whole host of reasons. And but think about it. I mean, it's I've always been just – and when you fly into Tel Aviv there, it's a miracle. It's a miracle is all I can say to you, okay? It's a miracle that in the desert this – amazing oasis of a country exists. You know that? You know?
Truly is.
Yeah. So truly, truly a miracle.
They've invented such technology.
Oh my God.
To survive there.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the things they did was they built a desalination plant for the city of San Diego.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
They're on the edge of all that stuff. Yeah. They're on the edge of all that.
They're so smart about it.
Yeah, they are. And I remember looking about that with the desalination. You're right, Jim. But they're doing a lot of technology stuff. They're very innovative, but they have to be innovative. They're living in a freaking desert. I mean, you know, if you're going to live there and make it the kind of lifestyle it is. But the cool thing about Israel, they got a great – you wouldn't even think it what it is. It's very Western. They've got a lot of great nightclubs, dancing. I've been at rooftops out in Israel dancing, dance parties in the evening. You can see Mr. Malcolm up there with a drink in my hand with the beautiful Israeli women around us, man. Dun-dun, with music playing, the lights there, and the beautiful skyline. I've been there, kids. I've been there. It's all good. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. But anyways, let me move this along. I want to talk to you guys next about Cuba, and in case anybody didn't realize, so the Castro era is coming to an end. What do you think of that, guys?
Nothing but good can come of it.
Nothing but good, yeah. So they're looking, you see what they're doing. They're taking the first vice president, Jim. Jim, you've been following this story?
Yes, mate. Right. Yeah, it's very new. It's just on the...
It's a brand new story. So 57-year-old first vice president, and his name I'm sure I will butcher here, but I will give it a shot anyways for you with my proper accent here. He's part of the Communist Party. Miguel Diaz-Canel is the vice president, and he is going to be the new leader. They're giving him the keys to the car here. Raul, by the way, now is 86 years old. He's 86. Wow.
Wow.
And but they're thinking not much is going to change. Now, very interesting. One thing I want to say about this that I do find interesting, he was being portrayed, Jim, as a moderate with a very quiet disposition, this guy, Miguel was, okay? Very, very quiet, they think. But then some videos have been coming out, and the videos show some private meetings with communist leaders where he is a complete ruthless SOB, hardline, lashing out at, you know, some of the the Cuban people there, and the dissidents there, and he never speaks in public, by the way. He's only orchestrated when he talks. It's always a controlled interview or something. But
anyways, a puppet show. It's a puppet show.
It is, but they're trying to obviously control this thing from the graveyard. You know that, because you know Fidel and Raul now can't. It's one thing about death. You can't stay here forever, people. Even assholes die. You know that.
Right.
Right. I mean, right, guys? I mean, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what happens. Any thoughts on that? Do you think, Jim, any comments on that, you think?
You know, he's a 30-year or more party leader in different areas. He grew up, the only thing he's ever known is Communist Party. You know, he's 57 and Castro regime is over 60 years old. Mm-hmm. So he has no other point of reference. I don't think he's ever been out of the country. But, you know, and if he did, he went to visit some other communist nation. But so his point of view is maintain the power.
That's it.
These are the rules that communism runs under.
Yeah.
And he has no other experience or reference
That's
to
all
offer
it is.
From.
The question is, you know, is he approachable? Will he be approachable? He won't be as long as Raul is here, but will he be approachable thereafter? Does he have, you know, you really don't know somebody's inner sense, you know, inner being until, you know, maybe when he's gone or something. But anyways, I've always been fascinated with Cuba, and really the Cuban people are some of the most inspirational people. I love the Cuban people. It's sad that they have such a government that they've had, and the oppression there is horrible, and what's happened. It's such a vibrant community, you know.
Definitely.
It's unfortunate what's happened there. Anyways,
it was the jewel of the Caribbean at one time.
Exactly. Exactly. So I feel there's something there, Ava. And someday Cuba's going to come back fully. I'm telling you now, it's going to come back fully someday. And it's going to be a partner in all of this, I believe. I don't know when it happens, people, but I think it's going to happen some point. I'm just optimistic about it, you know. Listen, I want to talk to you guys about something before we get into the next segment here. And so this is crazy here. The story we talked about yesterday, Eva, with the sketch of that lunatic with Stormy and Avenatti, the Stormy Avenatti game, which I know IQ was not being, and he was not really enamored with us there when we were talking about it. It's like, you Americans, would you get a life, please? Of course, you know, I was trying to explain, like, this is kind of news here. They're all sort of talking about it. I think it's ridiculous news, but anyways, that's why I never opened up my conversation with them. But here's the thing I want to say to you. You know, you hear people like IQ, very pragmatic, and so many others who say, you know, why do you bring this? Well, again, it's all over the place. But here's the thing, Ava, even a bigger point than this, why does President Trump send another tweet out? So he sends another tweet out, and this just blows my mind. So he sends this out this morning with the same sketch. He feeds right into the narrative. Now, this is one of the dumbest things I think this president does. In all full honesty, Ava, Jim, I think this is totally stupid. Stupid. He sends a tweet out there with that same sketch of what they said was Tom Brady or the actor there, whatever. And of this he says a sketch years later about a non-existent man, the tweet says. It goes on to say a total con job, playing the fake news media for fools, but they know it. Why bother? So if it is the fake news, if it is a con job, if it is a non-existent man, why chime in at all? If there's something about, even if the answer is, well, they gotta wanna let people sort of know what they think, at least let the press secretary handle it, Ava, or the janitor, or somebody. But the president? Why would the president send a tweet back on something like this?
I don't know. It's a personal attack on him. And I think he feels very personal about
the president gets personal attacks every day. That's when you come president, you're going to get to it. You're going to get 50% of the people are always going to personally attack you. You better not jump into that role if you're worried about that. Hell.
No, you're right. You're right. You have to rise above it.
Totally.
Point, you know,
totally. Yeah. Yeah. I think this is so wrong. Jim, you disagree with me?
I think it's a dumb move, but also
Amen. You
have to approach it from what's happening also on the legal side right now with the media storm that they're dumping 24/7 on him, saying where this whole thing's going. The judge and the action that was taken and what her background is. I can't believe this judge that's in charge of the Cohen incident and the entire thing. Her background is so embedded in this entire stream of conspiracy and corruption out of Washington.
Well, she was a Clinton appointee for the Supreme Court.
The whole thing is the deck is so stacked and isn't funny. You need a new play. Need a new game of cards.
This woman should recuse herself or be removed from the case. This is the real story that we should be talking about.
Exactly. I don't understand why the president would even grace the conversation. We know it's a con job, Mr. President. We know it's fake news, Mr. President. We know it's a non-existent. We get it, Mr. President. So let us do your dirty work, and why don't you shut the hell up and stay out of it? That's my message
to the president. I think it was his thumb in the eye to the media. That's basically what that
was. Well, but
really
he does that anyways. He's got plenty of things he can do that on. Syria, not telling the right story. That would be a better argument for the president to be having, or this ridiculous judge that you just talked about, Ava. But why give Stormy and Avenatti the time of the moment? These two scumbags, I wouldn't give a moment of air to if I was the president.
Yeah.
You know, they're like mosquitoes. Well, they're just bad mosquitoes that keep buzzing at you, and they're doing everything to get his attention, and he's playing right into their hand, I believe. I don't think this is a very strategic position for the president. Anyways.
I liked it better when he didn't talk about it.
I like it better when he didn't talk about it as well. Right. And I'll tell you what, we're going to keep talking, though, friends, in just a moment. More Nozzle. Be back with you.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
And also, there was a great tweet that Trump sent out as well, the president sent out, I want to mention to you all as well, and it is best wishes to Prime Minister Netanyahu, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and all the people of Israel on the 70th anniversary of your great independence. He goes on to say, we have no better friends anywhere. Looking forward to moving our embassy to Jerusalem next month. Of course, that's a little bit of a needle right there for those who don't really believe that. But I thought that was a great tweet. And this is, did you know this is the 70th anniversary of the independence, guys, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh?
It is. It is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And for the president to put that us, you know, that's a great purpose of a tweet that's effective, guys. That I think is a great thing to communicate to the American people and the Israeli people for that matter. Yeah. You know,
definitely.
But the other stuff, not so much, you know. So anyways, listen, I want to talk to you about this hush fund as well, Ava. This is interesting here, this story here. So the House passed a bill that would require the buffoons of Congress, not the members, but the buffoons of Congress, to pay out of their own pockets. These are the sex addicts now, friends, for any sexual harassment settlements, and would help the victims better navigate the complaint process on Capitol Hill, is what they're officially saying. Now, it goes on to say, there's no place for sexual harassment or any type of harassment. This is what, Representative Greg Harper says. He's a Republican out of Mississippi. He's chairman of the House Administration Committee. And so they're pushing this through now. What do you think about this, Ava? I know something you're pretty passionate about with this hush fund business, huh?
Well, I wonder, are they going to release the names of those who were in
you've been wondering that for months.
Payouts? Yeah, I'm wondering, too, is this also a reason why so many are considering retirement all of a sudden?
I don't know. You think this has something to do with it, huh?
I do. I actually do, yeah.
It could be.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be held accountable now for stuff, you know?
So you think a lot of them are running because from office because they have their hand in the cookie jar. Now, we know that hush fund has got a lot of big names in it. They've never. What is their official reason for not releasing that? Does anybody know?
Yes. In 1995, when Clinton was having his fun with the lady in the
using
dress.
Cigars in the Oval Office. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. They created what they called at the time, it's now the Office of Congressional Compliance, but they created this entire bureaucracy and structure right. to try and resolve and deal with, call them work rule. They call them work violation of work rules is what they call them.
Right.
And the way it's couched. Within Congress, up till that time was exempt from any prosecution having to do anything with harassment, basically. Mm-hmm. So instead of just saying, okay, now Congress is subject to the rules that everybody else has to play by, they created this entire office and this entire bureaucracy. And one of the things they did was everything that happens within that will be guarded in secrecy forever. And it's totally wrapped around. Nobody gets to see it.
Jim,
they give a report to Congress every year that says, this is how many incidents we had. No names, no details, yeah. Nothing.
If you went ahead and you polled the American people on what we're talking about right now and said to them, if we put this question out there and said, okay, do you think there's a budget that will cover all of the expenses for the for sexual complaints, sexual harassment, rape, whatever it is, it pays their legal fees. Do you think that exists? I think for people to personally, if this is their personal thing, I bet you the American people would say, no, that doesn't exist. The government doesn't pay for that. We're not paying for that. Shut up, Jim. It doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They paid off 280 people with over $17 million. Mm-hmm. And if you go and you look at the details, some years it's been like five or six cases, and people have been paid $300,000 and $400,000 each to shut up.
It's mind-blowing.
There's right now, the last count I saw was 284 cases about this.
Yes, sir. Now, what this means really is they're not only screwing the American people, but they're screwing the women and the sexual harassment stuff and everything else, and they're not telling us. I mean, they're screwing everybody across the board. Well, anyways, this bill will require the members of Congress to personally pay, any settlements rather than using the office budgets and taxpayer money. I mean, what is wrong with this picture? Now, Eva, you've been pushing this a lot on social media for a while. You've been trying to get, I mean, you've been very vocal about this. This is something you're very passionate about as a strong woman conservative leader that you are. You've been very, very passionate about this topic, trying to get the names out there, trying to get the hush fund. And I've never heard you once say Democrat, Republican. I don't think you really care who it is. You just want to know.
No, I've actually called upon women senators. Mm-hmm. to release these names and release this information to the American public, because this is our tax dollars. We paid for this. And we have a right to know who's feeling up who in Congress and what they've done and what we've paid for it. I really think we need to know the truth about this stuff. And not one of the women senators, Republican or Democrat, mind you, would even respond back to me.
Well, there are two here now. Let me give you a piece of information. There is a bipartisan effort. There is a Democrat. This is from two women, by the way, just so you know, Eva. So you may want to reach out to these two. The Republican is out of Virginia, Representative Barbara Comstock. This is their bill, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Jackie Spear out of Democrat.
It's Spires from
California. Spire from California, Jim. Mm-hmm. Representative Jackie Spire from California. So those are the two, Ava, you might want to get some
answers.
I
applaud them for this bill going forward, mm-hmm. because what this bill does is going forward, right. from this day forward, these people will be responsible for their own payment for, mm-hmm. Sexual harassment. Right. But I want to know about the payments that Jim was talking about. I want to know about, the millions of dollars that have been paid out in the past. Mm-hmm. And that will never be released. You'll never see that released.
Yeah.
And the other thing, even with that bill, it would say they're responsible for the payments, if they're payments, but all the investigations, all the penalties, all the records will still be covered by this Congressional Office of Compliance, which is basically like a secret kangaroo court.
Right, right.
That is dealing with it. So nobody will ever get the details of what happened.
Well, I think it's important we bring it up here. We want people to know the truth, and this is something we're all passionate about. And I know, Jim and Ava, you both have your causes, and this is a very good one here, mm-hmm. that Ava's been on top of for months now, for quite a long time. This hush fund, but it's just totally wrong. It's wrong on so many levels that the taxpayer money is being used for their sexual problems in Washington, and mm-hmm. that it's a hush fund. Nobody, and yet we're not able, and we're the keepers. These people work for us. We can demand and to see this stuff. Hey, do you know if Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch, has ever asked for this? Has he asked for this? Has he sued
yes,
them
he
on
has.
This? Yeah, I would imagine he has.
Huh? And he was told flat out that it's a congressional confidential
state secret. It's a state secret.
Exactly.
You know who could get it? It's President Trump.
Right.
And what I'd do is I would get it if I was him, and I would use it.
Well, you probably have a better chance of getting the nuclear code than you will this here, Ava, probably. But and of course, the president has enough on his plate without us throwing any more curveballs. So I think this hush fund, we got to see what happens if these two female politicians are successful in this thing. We'll follow this and see what happens. Also, I want to mention something, a couple of follow-ups here, that the Michael Cohen hearing, by the way, very interesting. I just want to touch on that inside of this courtroom, we were just talking a moment ago, Jim, about Judge Kimba Wood there, that mm-hmm. douchebag. I mean, the judge, that she was ready to allow Michael Cohen she was ready, by the way, from all the accounts that we're seeing on this, to to submit the name of the third client, and she wasn't making a big deal out of it. Who made a big deal out of it and wanted it exposed was CNN and the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
They pushed her and convinced her that was it, by the way, just so you know, okay? They pushed and convinced her.
I don't think they had to push her too hard.
Probably not. But anyways, they say that it probably wouldn't have come out anyways. But it's all such a crazy story with Sean Hannity. I mean, it's like he's having conversations.
You know, as Americans, though, we should be very, very leery about watching this unfold. Because if this can happen to Cohen, this can happen to anybody in America.
That's right.
And this is what we really need to take away from this story, okay,
right.
is that your constitutional right of a private arrangement with your attorney, a private agreement, is now being mm-hmm. put totally public.
Yeah, it sure
and if
is.
This can happen, if this can happen to President Trump, it can happen to any Democrat out there as well.
Right.
So totally. Be careful totally. What you wish for. Be
All
careful.
Right. All right. Well, we will do that, and we'll keep following this Kimba there, lady there. And also, I want to mention to folks that not a story that you all probably want to hear, but our Comey dude there, he was on Stephen Colbert last night. And by the way, he delivered I just want everybody to know, the third biggest ratings ever for The Late Show with Colbert. But here's the caveat. The reason I'm telling you this, so just hold your horses, people. So the reason I'm telling you this is because one of the most successful Colbert shows ever is the time that President Donald Trump was on when he was running for office, when that really disgusting Colbert was on there. Stephen Colbert, you know, really when he liked Trump and trying to edge him on to run for president because everybody liked Donald Trump when he was just a candidate or before the candidate. But for the fact that he's cleaning the swamp and draining everybody and moving through the pews there quickly, they don't like him anymore. But if you watch that interview that Colbert had with President candidate Trump, it was a great interview. It was a great segment, by the way, on Colbert. You guys seen that segment, right?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
That.
It was a
I'm
great.
Not a Colbert.
Oh,
I'm
we have a Colbert did watch. Really good with Trump. I mean, Jim, am I right?
Oh, he promoted him. He was
big time
a big advocate for him.
kissed his ass. I mean, it was a beautiful segment. Joe, they liked each other.
Joe Scarborough used to be a big Trump supporter. They were
Mika and he was. They were very close, but what happened is that really went bad. That relationship went bad. That almost went as bad as the Robert Wood and the wife there. He threw over the boat there. What the hell's her name? Natalie Wood and what the actor there? He's supposed to be up on charges against. What's his name again? That actor, Natalie Wood and the hell's
Robert
his name?
Something.
Yeah, Robert something. Yeah, whatever. We'll call him Robert something. Whatever, Robert whatever Smith. I don't remember his name. But anyways.
And there again, that's another thing in Hollywood that got, you know, stashed away. And, you know, now all of a sudden it comes out. But,
yeah,
it's kind of like a Harvey Weinstein thing, you know.
Yeah, but last thing too here real quickly. If you live in Puerto Rico and you're listening to the show, you're probably doing it through some other means because there's an island-wide power outage. This is the second largest power outage in United States history, if you can believe that. Actually, it's the largest blackout in U.S. history and the second largest in the world, guys. And they've lost power again for 24 to 36 hours. And, you know, our dear friend Harry Dent, which I know Jim is very affectionate to, loves Harry's strategy and financial strategy. He lives in Puerto Rico, by the way.
We've heard him.
So, yeah, he lives out there. And a lot of people live out there. You know, I mean, it's part of this country, believe it or not, Jim. And people don't realize Puerto Rico is, you know, I mean, these are called U.S. citizens.
Couple times they've tried to make it the 51st state.
Yeah, well, it's a very odd thing. They're it's a U.S. citizens. They are considered U.S. citizens, but anyways. So that's the deal in Puerto Rico. So you'll have to. But yet the baseball game is still going to go on. By the way, it's between the Cleveland Indians and Minnesota Twins are playing in Puerto Rico at Hiram Bithorn Stadium, and they're still going to go on because they're going to use generators and what have you and mobile tower lights so they can still play baseball. How do you like that, kids?
Well, there you go.
Priorities. What do they say? The game must go on. The game must go on, right?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So, listen, there was a lot more here. We'll have to pick up again here. One other thing trending today, hashtag I'd like to be rich enough too. Now, I love these hashtags. I always enjoy Twitter with that, Ava, you know what I mean? When they do these, I'd like. And I love to see what people are thinking. And so hashtag I'd like to be rich enough too. Rose says to end world hunger. Natalie says to tell my boss to get, I can't say the word, it starts with an F, and but I can't say the word here, people. Nancy says buy enough military assault weapons ever made and melt them down into bridges and handrails for the disabled. Jason says to buy a small popcorn from movie theaters. I love that one. It's so damn expensive, the popcorn. Clue says to date a woman with all her teeth. Wow. Man. RC says to shut down the deep state corruption and to lock her up, Hillary, that is. And the last one is Trump Thoughts says to buy Congress back from the Koch brothers. So that's your wisdom and advice today. We got to get to predictions quickly. There's a lot more to talk about, but listen, that's it here. So, all right, who wants to go first with predictions? Jim, you go first. We'll let Ava do the caboose here. You go
the
first.
Spot today. Prediction. This entire thing in Syria will get resolved by President Trump and Putin sitting down together and talking within the next 2 months. And
he's invited him. He's invited him to do that.
He's invited him. And we will pretty much get out of the fray and bring our military home.
Yeah. Well, the president is definitely geared to that. Ava, what's your prediction?
I predict that President Trump will be meeting with Kim Jong-un much sooner than we had originally thought.
Really? Before June?
I think he'll probably meet with him before Pompeo is even, put into office.
I don't think. Why, you know something we don't know? I don't think that's the case. I mean, unless you have some inside baseball information, now's the law.